To this series and related to this message this morning. Some of you that are here this morning are here for your first time. Some of you have been coming for just a few months. You're what I affectionately refer to as a seeker. Someone who is seeking to understand more about God. Someone who is investigating the claims of the Christian faith. Someone who is looking for some spiritual answers. And that is one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons that Evergreen Community Church was created as you know it. So that you and others could come in a non-threatening, non-confrontational manner and explore and seek out answers as they relate to the Christian faith. There are many others of you here this morning who have been coming for a number of months. Some of you 7, 8, 9 months, some of you a year, some of you 2 years since we started. And when you first started coming around, you were also seeking to understand more about God. You were looking for answers. You were investigating Christ and Christianity. And during that time, you came to a realization in your life that it was Jesus Christ that you needed. And you asked Him into your life. You ask Him to be your personal Savior. This series that I'm going to be doing in the next 4 weeks, starting today, is specifically designed for you. For those of you who have made that personal choice. I wanted to show that this morning because I did not want others of you here today who may not be at this point that I'm speaking of today to feel pressured or to feel bad about it in any way. I think there's things you'll be able to glean from this series that will give you understanding, even a greater insight into the Christian faith, but it may not be exactly where you're living right at this time, and I don't want you to feel bad about that. I just wanted you to understand that I have a specific reason for this series. I'd like to share with you during this series on the joy of commitment how your life can have the significance, the meaning, and the joy and the richness that God intended it to have. Without what I'm going to share in the next 4 weeks, and particularly starting today, there is no way you will ever have a dynamic, meaningful, rich Christian experience. And I want you to reflect seriously on the things I'm going to say. The things I'm going to talk about today are of a serious nature. I want you to know that right off the bat. About a year ago, 1 year ago, almost today, the first time in my life this has happened, I had a close personal friend die. And it was a surprise to me, to my friend's husband. It was his wife that passed away, and he and I had been involved in a band together for years. I had known his wife personally. Their kids and our kids had been close friends. They were the same age. They had a baby the same age as ours. And her death was just all of a sudden. I remember getting that phone call that day and being stunned. First time someone my age that I knew had died. I had a lot of questions, a lot of wonderings, a lot of whys. They asked me to be in the funeral and to sing a song, which is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life because I tend to be an emotional individual and I can't just sort of compartmentalize my life away from pain and sorrow of my friend. For the next 4 days, all I could think about was death. All I could think about was life is so short. Life is shorter than I realize it is. In fact, it began to dawn on me, you know, I don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Even as a Christian, I don't have a guarantee of next week. I may be gone after today and you never see me again. Now, those aren't thoughts we like to sit around and think about, but it has a reason. If you bear with me, you'll understand the reason. But it's imperative that we understand the Bible tells us that our life is but a puff of smoke, a mere breath, a mere shadow. Psalms tells us that it's like the flower that sprouts up today, and the glory of the flower we see one day, and a day later it fades, and it's gone, and we don't remember its place anymore. That's the way our life is. And that struck me as I was at this funeral, as I was thinking about my friend's life. And I began to contemplate life. What am I doing with my life? I began to reevaluate my life, my marriage, my family, in light of the fact that I'm not going to live forever. My life is just not going to go on and on and on and on and on. It has an end. Now, that's a little bit difficult for us as young people. I consider anyone here today, please don't take offense at this, between 12 and 48, a young person. You may wonder why I picked that age. Because I think once you're close to 50, you no longer think of yourself as young. But that's fine if you do. You're as young as you feel. I'm just trying to make a point. I think that until we reach a certain age, we almost consider ourselves indestructible. We almost consider ourselves immortal. You're not immortal. You and I are not indestructible. Life is very fragile. And there are some questions in light of life that I want to ask you to think about this morning. I want to ask you to put them in your brain, and I want to ask you to really think about them with me. Let's pretend for a moment that you're right now, every one of us in this room, are 80 years old. Every one of us, just we're 80 years old, and all of our life is behind us. What have you done with your life? What have you accomplished with your life that is going to go with you when you die? What have you done with your life that is going to go beyond the grave? If you look back on your life, or you look at your life right now, what is your life amounting to more than going to bed, eating food, recreating, going to your job, raising a family, accumulating a little wealth, taking a few vacations, retiring, and then dying? What more meaning is there to your life? What significant, third question, what significant contribution is your life making right now on other people's lives for Jesus Christ that you know my life is counting? Fourth question, who are you really living for right now? And if you look back from 80, who did you live for? Yourself and your agenda, or for God and God's agenda? Those are very serious questions that you and I must face and think about. Because whether you're here today at 20, whether you're 12, whether you're 35, whether you're 30, whether you're 40, whether you're 50, 60, 70, we must come to grips with the fact that our life is not going to go on forever. And we better ask ourselves long and hard, is what I am doing, is it really matter? It's the number one reason men have a midlife crisis is for what John read today out of the scripture reading. You see, Solomon wrote it, but God told it to Solomon, and Solomon wrote it. That is God's estimation of life apart from Christ and life apart from commitment. It is meaningless. It is vanity. It is like chasing after the wind. So what? So you're 7 years old. You've got $1 million. What have you done with it? And when you die, who's going to get it? And Solomon says that in Ecclesiastes. Man, I've watched families. I have talked. This is one of the most appalling things to me in life. You have an individual, a father, a mother. They're 75 years old. They're worth $2 million, and they die. They've raised four children whom they loved very much, tried to love. And at the reading of the will at the funeral, these kids are fighting and bickering over who's going to get what. Now, if that isn't the epitome of utter meaningless, I don't know what is. And many times you don't even know where it's going to go because it's caught up in court. And this is what Solomon's saying. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Life has no meaning. See, but you and I may have come to the conclusion that our little life has meaning apart from Christ, apart from commitment. And I want to share with you why. It's because you're deluded. It's because you're deceived. It's because you and I have not looked life right in the face and asked those same questions and said, my goodness, what is life? What in the world am I doing with my life? I'm just filling space. And all the pleasures that I have are momentary, then they're gone, and I look for another one, then it's gone. God has so much for your life that He wants to give you. God wants to make your life meaningful. God wants to make your life significant. God wants to make your life powerful. God wants to do something great with your life. But there's a price. There's a price. And Christians, we need to be willing to pay this price. Jesus said this, whoever keeps his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will keep it and find it. What is Jesus saying? He was saying not only to his disciples, but to the multitudes and to us, because his word still speaks to us today. Listen, if you keep your life, if you live it for yourself, if you live it for your own agenda, I have a little truth that I want you to understand. It's just the same truth as gravity. You jump off this building, nothing to protect you, you're going to get sort of splattered on the concrete. And if you live your life for yourself, and if you live your life for your own agenda, and if you live your life for your own plans, you will lose all that your life could have been. And I believe there are many of us who, until we heard this message, if we don't do something about it, will become 80 years old in the snap of a finger. In the simple snap of a finger, it will happen. And you're going to look back with tremendous regrets in your life because you lived your life for second best. You don't want to have that, believe me. You don't want to have that happen to you. Your life can be, conversely, abundant and full and fulfilling and purposeful, but only when it's come under the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you say to Him, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you ask me to do. Jesus said this. He asked this little question. It's really a very reasonable question. What would it profit a man or a woman? What would it benefit you if you gain the whole world and all that the world has to give, but you lose the value of your life for eternity in the process? What would it profit you? Have you ever thought about that? What would it benefit you? What would it benefit you to be a millionaire and be on a plane that is going to crash in 5 minutes? You see, God has a whole different vantage point on our life than we do, and we must get God's vantage point and leave our little petty vantage point. His is a much better one. He says, look, man, your life is going to be over really soon. I want it to count for something. I created you for an awesome purpose, for an awesome reason. We have to make that choice. You see, He asks us to follow us. But you know, so many people's lives remind me of a carnival. A child at the carnival. You ever watch a little child? I remember being a little child going to the carnival. I loved the carnival. And I'd save up my lawn mowing money, all that hard-earned money, and I'd head to the carnival. And I remember one particular time I went to the carnival. And one of my favorite things to do at the carnival or fair, whichever you prefer to call it, was the spinning wheel that you drop paint on. I was never an artist, but I always felt like I could express myself with blobs, you know? And so I would stand and I would make these fluorescent creations. They were $1.50 a piece. And I remember standing there one time for an hour and I did 12 of them. I was on the 12th one and they gave you these cute little borders that went around them, and then I stacked them so they would dry. And as I was doing the 12th one, I noticed that there was a little boy watching me like this. And he had stuck his elbow in the middle of all my pictures. And they'd all stuck together. They were destroyed in just a moment. All of my paper, all that I had invested my money in, was gone. And the thrill was over really fast. And all we have to come home from a carnival and show is plastic snakes and little teddy bears made in Changa Magumba. And that's all we have to show. You know, friends, life is like cotton candy. It looks so luscious and beautiful, feathery and soft, you bite it, and the next thing you know, all you have in your mouth is air. It's very important you understand that. It's very important that you take what God says very seriously. He wants to do something wonderful with your life. And He calls us, He commands us to a life of commitment. He calls us to follow Him. He tells us, do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust and dust collect and thieves can break into steel, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where no one can get to it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus made it very clear that you cannot serve God and money. You will love one or hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. Where is your strength going? Where is the energy of your life going? Where are your thoughts going? I know if you're like me, you don't want to have nothing to show for your life. We have to understand, though, that God has a different value system. What the world says we ought to show for our life is not what God says. In fact, do you want to know what Jesus said? He said this, "The things that are noble in the mind of man are detestable in the sight of God." The values that are noble in the eyes of man, the type of value system we see in our world, is detestable to God. He has another one that's better, and that you'll be fulfilled if you do. Jesus called us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of life's necessities would be given to us, would be added to us. He would provide, and then life fits in priority, and we can lay our head on our pillow at night and sleep like never before, because we know I had purpose today. I had meaning today. When I compare my life to eternity, I know that what I did today, it counted. It mattered. I'm significant. I've asked myself, what would have happened if when Jesus came to Peter and He said, "Peter," you never probably thought of this, you think about this with me, "Peter, follow Me." "Well, Lord, I love fishing, Lord. I'd like to come, but fishing is my thing, God. And so, you know, I'd rather fish." Well, you want to know what would have happened? It could have happened that way. God didn't make Peter follow Him. Jesus didn't make Peter follow Him. And you know what? You would have never read about Peter. Just an ordinary fisherman. Just an ordinary man taking up ordinary space in an ordinary world. But because he made a life decision of commitment, he became a man that all of you have heard about and read about. Movies have been made about him. Just an ordinary fisherman. He made a life choice to follow Christ. Remember the little boy with his loaves and fishes? You ever stop to think what would have happened if the little boy didn't give Jesus his loaves and fishes? Well, Jesus still would have fed the 5,000. It's just that you would have never read about the little boy. And all the little boy would have had was a picnic all by himself with about 2 loaves and 4 fishes. And that's all. You would have never read about him. You see, men and women, in all honesty, our lives are no more than a few loaves and fishes. And when they're left to themselves, they simply waste away. When they're given to God, He does something miraculous with your life. As you commit yourself to Him, to follow Him, He takes your life, He multiplies it, He uses it. He wants to use your life in some extraordinary ways. And I remember back almost 15 years ago, I was 19. And I'll tell you, those 15 years, my 15 reunion was a couple weeks ago, I couldn't go because I was speaking on that weekend. But I'll tell you, 15 years has gone by just like that. My daughter, who is 10 now, I have 3 teenagers this decade. I don't take that lightly. I realize that the year 2000 will be literally, once I get there, I will think to myself, I put my head on the pillow in 1990, I got up in the morning and it was the year 2000. In less than a week, I'll be 34. And I'll tell you, life just goes by so fast. Well, at 19, believe it or not, I get contemplative. I have a melancholy part of me that gets very meditative, very contemplative. And I remember at 19 and a half, I graduated from school. I graduated at 19. And I graduated, I got out of school. I didn't have any immediate plans because I knew with my particular track record in school, I would never make it in college. But college didn't also appeal to me. In fact, to be quite honest with you, nothing appealed to me. You know why? Because when I sat down, I had this place in the woods that I'd go, and when I sat down and I thought about life, I could not get it out of my mind that I do not want to live my life like my father and my father before him and my father before him, who spend 65 years of their life getting out of bed, going to work, coming home, eating dinner, kissing the wife, reading the paper, watching the tube, raising a few kids, going to bed, and continue that monotonous pace for 70 years of my life. I'm not saying it's monotonous to have a family. I like having a family. What I'm saying is, deep down in the inner part of me, this guy said, I want to make a contribution. I want to be significant. I want to do something that really matters, that really helps. I want to do something that counts for eternity. A few weeks later, as I was thinking all this, I was almost in a couple automobile accidents. And then it dawned on me, Mark, you're not indestructible, man. You've just wasted. See, I knew about these things since I was 13 years old. I was raised in a very godly home. And I rebelled, and I rebelled, and I rebelled, and I rebelled, and I rebelled. And then it dawned on me in 19 and a half, when I almost lost my life, I have no control over the day I die. I have no guarantees when it's going to end. And by gosh and by golly, Lord, you've got me. I am giving you my everything. I want to matter for something. Even if it's only 1 week and I'm gone, then at least I'll know 1 week of my life counted for something else besides Mark's own self-centered living. I wanted that so bad. And I believe most of you in this room want that very same thing in your life. You want to know that your life as a mother, your life as a father, your life as a single individual is mattering, is counting. You can know that. You can have that. Christ asks you to follow Him. You give Him your life. You say to yourself, Mark, man, I don't want to be a Bible beater. Am I a Bible beater? You guys know me. You know, I've talked to people who come up and say, you know, I used to think that these born-again Christians are Bible beaters. I'm not a Bible beater. You see, I work really hard to break that stereotype. People say, I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't consider myself a fanatic. I consider myself very radical. I'm very radical. In fact, this is my favorite topic to talk on. I could talk to you about this every single Sunday for the next year. From one different point to another. I am passionate about this. Why? Because this is the only reason to live. After the service today, if you can think of another reason to live, you tell me. If you can think of another reason to live your life that you know for sure is going to count beyond the grave, I'd like to know it. As one man said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jim Elliot, who was killed the year I was born, he's kind of my mentor. At 26 years old, he was killed by the Alki Indians deep in the Amazons. Was a missionary. Everyone laughed at him. People told him he was a fool for giving his life for people who couldn't even understand English and didn't even care. He was martyred, 26 years old. Before he died, he said this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You ever think about that? If I gave you this little proposal, in this next year, all you had to live on was $10,000. That's all you had to live on. And I came to you and I said, I have a proposition for you. You give me your $10,000, and in 3 years, I will give you back $1 million. Now, initially you think, oh, that sounds awesome. Except you have to realize that you're going to be scraping by for 3 years, at least especially for the first year. But my friends, you see, you can't keep it anyway. It's of no value to you alone anyway. It's kind of like an engine without a motor. I mean, a car without an engine. Or an engine without gas. Till you put it all together, it just sits there. And people may gawk at it and look at it and think, oh, what a beautiful car. It's of no value till someone uses it. And you and I will never have the Christian significance in our life until you let God take your life. And you tell Him, Lord Jesus, you do whatever you want with my life. I am committed to you. I'm talking about something different now than accepting Christ. Many of you have already done that. What I'm talking about now is the next crossroad in your life. The next fork in the road. You see, men and women, I want to tell you something. The saddest thing I believe in the world today, it's the thing that bothers me more than anything else in the world, is to be in ministry, know what I know, and watch millions of self-centered Christians live for nothing with meaningless lives while their neighbor is lost. Selfish. And Christ came down here and died for them, and they could care less. they just go on their little way in their own sweet time playing games with their life. I desperately want more for you than that. God wants more for your life than that. And you can have that if you're willing to take it on. If you're willing to say like Peter, Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, I'll go after you. Lord, I'll commit my life to you. I want to ask you this morning to do something. Okay? We're going to close. And I want to ask you as I'm praying to bow your heads. And for those of you that are here today who have never made that commitment to Christ, while I'm praying, God can hear you as if you're the only one praying. I want you to tell Him, that's what I want. I believe God has spoken to you today. I don't have any doubt of that in my mind. And I know you're struggling. I want to say, give up the struggle. Give in. Surrender it. Give it up. And from this day forward, your life can start counting. And you tell Him, Lord Jesus, I want that. I will give you my life. I will give you my life. You take it. I'm going to follow you. You do with it what you want. And I'll tell you, you'll never regret it. I've been doing it for 15 years. And I've been through tough times and good times. And I can tell you this, God has never let me down. He's never let my wife and I down, our four children down. I don't even sometimes feel like I can describe to you how rich my life really is, how meaningful it really is. You'll know it for yourself once you do it and you begin that pilgrimage with God of commitment. Those of you that are here, you've done this before in your life. I want you to do it again today. I just want you to renew your vows to God. And I want you to tell Him, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, you do whatever you want. Lord, I'm committed to you. You are not just my Savior, but you're my Lord. You call the shots. I want my life to count for you. Then I want to encourage you to be back the next 3 weeks because I'm going to tell you exactly what three life commitments, in addition to this first one, you need to make and how your life can have purpose, how you can get involved, and what exactly God wants for your life. You'll be able to know it for certain at the end of this month. Let's bow our heads.